As we said, there's snow on the ground, and next week we're eating turkey together, so it looks like the holidays are upon us. Excited for that, thanks to Janelle Kennedy and others. That's going to be good. It's going to be good. My Advent sermons don't start until December, but I can tell you what the theme will be of those sermons this year. It's going to surround the mission that Jesus Christ came to accomplish when he was born into this world. Jesus came on a mission, and he has passed that mission on to us now, his followers. We're going to talk a little bit about that mission today, the mission of getting God's love and truth out into the whole world, both near and far, to all people. Today's message is going to be part sermon and part report. On October 9 and 10, Anna and I represented you at the national biennial meeting of our church denomination, Converge Worldwide. That meeting moves around the country, but it happened to be in St. Paul this fall at Bethel University. And so we represented you as your voting delegates at that meeting. And by the way, our church can send more than two delegates, so if this is something you're interested in the future, next time the biennial meeting rolls around in a couple years, you're welcome to attend with us. I think it's in Colorado next time. These are good meetings to attend, to see what's going on in the conference and to vote. You know, our conference is designed as a bottom-up institution, so it's supposed to be the delegates. This is the way it's designed, that decide on things, or at the very least, vote on the resolutions brought to the floor by the board. But if nobody comes to vote, then that system doesn't do much good. So we do need delegates to travel to these meetings and be involved. The meetings were fun for me, having made this career change into ministry here a couple years ago. I've gone to plenty of annual meetings for businesses that I've worked for in the past, whether it was Caribou Coffee or Wells Fargo or Ameriprise, and all those annual meetings are somewhat the same. You sit in a big dark room, there are speakers making speeches, there are videos shown, and all of those businesses push pretty hard to have lots of enthusiasm going on during these annual meetings. They sometimes feel like a big cheer fest, and I didn't mind working for Caribou, and there were things I appreciated about working for Ameriprise. Those companies provide needed goods and services, and they provide many people with employment. Those things are important, but I can't tell you that I was so in love with the mission of those companies that my heart was fully into all that cheering going on at the annual meetings. Now, you kind of have to do it, though, right? Because if everyone's doing a standing ovation about how well Caribou did financially in the last fiscal year, and you're the only one not standing, well, you know, your boss might notice that. So guess what? You stand and cheer like everybody else. Whoop. So anyway, I did appreciate things about those annual meetings, but I can't say that my heart was as enthusiastic during all the cheering as perhaps some of the event organizers would have liked. This annual meeting was a welcome change for me. Still sitting in a dark room, speakers speaking, videos playing, and people cheering from time to time about things, but things I actually wanted to cheer about. Reports on numbers of people coming to Christ. 4,000 baptisms just in Minnesota and Iowa alone in the last year. Churches being opened nationally. Christian camping programs succeeding and growing. The frequent proclamation from various speakers about their love for Jesus Christ. These were things I was very pleased to stand for and cheer with my full heart. So that felt good to me. Thank you for sending us to these meetings. There were many moments in the meetings where I wished all of you could have been in the room with us to hear the hearts of our leaders and to hear about the vision and the plans. It was exciting. So today, my thought is that I want to do my best to make you feel like you were in that room for a little bit of that meeting. Since I was your delegate there, I want to bring you a report of some of the things that I've heard. Now, Converge Worldwide, our denomination, is just one small wing of the greater kingdom of God, and it is to that greater kingdom, and it is to that God that we owe our ultimate allegiance. But, as I've said in the past, I see great value in having a wing of the kingdom to belong to. in having a group of people who all agree to the same statement of faith that we agree to. By the way, our mission statement here is, and our statement of faith is the same as that of Converge. There are many things that can be done more effectively together than individually. Responses to natural disasters, camping programs, sending out missionaries with the right training and the right backing and support, establishing places for churches to turn to for wisdom when facing challenges, etc. So we share with this people, the people of Converge Worldwide, we share the same mission. We bond together to help each other accomplish it in the world. We share an allegiance to the Bible, to the message of Jesus Christ, and to the Lord God. We share the mission. I want to bring you into the room with us today and help you get a sense of what's going on in this larger body that Calvary Baptist is a part of. I want you to be able to hear some of the statistics and some of the vision and hear from some of the people who spoke there, including our new Converge president. And I hope all of this will be inspiring to you to see what's happening in our wing of God's great kingdom. All right, so here we go. Most of you know by now that Converge Worldwide used to be called the Baptist General Conference. That name change occurred in 2008. The motivation behind the change, as I understand it, was to avoid that situation where you tell someone you're a Baptist, and then you immediately are combating whatever stereotypes they have in their mind about who Baptists are. And maybe there are some Baptists out there, leaders or groups, that we don't want to necessarily be identified with. So I think that was the motivation behind the change, just to eliminate that pigeonholing or stereotyping. Now, there were many people in the conference, including my father, who really felt that we shouldn't change the name and that we should be proud of our past and be proud of the good thinking that is behind most Baptist structures, rather than letting those few people out there who sully the Baptist name ruin it for the rest of us. He thought we should hold on to that. So it was a controversial change, but the change was made nonetheless, and we are now Converge Worldwide. The mission strategy for Converge Worldwide is summed up in this statement. We seek to start and strengthen transformational churches. We seek to start and strengthen transformational churches. Church planting is a huge emphasis in our conference, and I'll tell you why. Statistics show that new churches are much more effective at evangelism than established churches. And the guesses as to why this is are as follows. Members of brand new churches know that if they don't get more members in there, this church is not going to survive. And so they put effort into it and they take more risks and they get out into the community. So goes the thinking. Some say, and I think this probably is true, that it's easier to join, if you're a new person, it's easier to join a new church than it is to join an existing church where there are people that have known each other for decades and kind of have their little groups already set. So that's something to think about. Missiologists say that in order to effectively penetrate an area with the gospel, you should have one church for every 1,000 people in the urban areas and one church for every 500 in the rural areas. So there's some thinking along those lines. So this decision by Converge to plant churches is all about getting the gospel out to as many people as effectively as possible. And then there's statistics like this one from the Southern Baptist denomination. Established Southern Baptist churches perform on average 3.4 baptisms per year per 100 members. But new Southern Baptist churches average 11.7 baptisms per year per 100 members. So our denomination looks at those statistics and says, we need to be planting churches. And so they put a lot of effort into that. And there's a whole assessment of people who are willing to lead church plants, and they go through an assessment, and they're kind of approved or not. And then once they're approved, they go through a substantial training. So it's a very intentional effort. There was a goal established in 2010, a five-year goal, to plant 350 churches nationwide. Got about a year left on that, and my understanding is we're at 237 planted churches, so it'll be a stretch to get to that number. But 237 planted churches is pretty good, too. I should mention we're still a relatively small denomination. We have about 1,200 churches nationwide, with collective church attendance in the range of about 300,000 people. But we are a growing denomination, as those church planting stats show. And by the way, we've said this before, we are associated with Converge voluntarily. They do not control us in any way. We associate with them because we want to help them. They want to help us. Converge is, of course, not solely about church planting. It is also about the second part of that mission statement, strengthening existing churches. Programs are offered to help conference pastors grow spiritually and be more effective leaders. They have a really strong program. It's voluntary for churches, but if your church decides you want to have an assessment done on your church to see what your strengths and weaknesses are, and to help you become more effective and healthy, the conference offers that to individual churches as well. Strengthening existing churches is an effort. International ministries, so missions work, is something we would all want our denomination to be doing, and Converge is strong in that area as well. We have 149 full-time missionaries in 30 countries, more missionaries on the way. Outside of that traditional missionary effort, this emphasis on church planting has worked its way into international ministries as well, and since 2012, Converge has trained and deployed 715 church planters in Pakistan, India, Nepal, Bhutan, among least reached people groups, each having planted a church. There's kind of a renewed focus in the last couple of years of reaching those least reached people groups in the world in the conference. Converge Worldwide has 99 chaplains, either in military or, like Bruce Nelson is now, in hospital settings or in prisons. We've got a strong presence in the military, including a Converge chaplain who is head of the chaplaincy for the U.S. Army National Guard. Converge Worldwide has established a partnership with World Relief to most effectively help when natural disasters strike or other types of calamities occur around the globe. We've already done some of that in the last year and a half. We sent money to the Converge efforts to help after the typhoon hit the Philippines. And I believe we did that same thing for the Oklahoma tornadoes. I'm not going to show you the whole list of tragedies that Converge has responded to in the last 2 years, but I can tell you I did a quick totaling of the dollar figures involved on their report, and it was over $1 million over the last 2 years that came from Converge givers designated to help in situations, in tragic situations like those. We can do more together than we can do on our own. So those are some of the stats and the programs that Converge is involved in and that were reported on at the meetings. Harlow showed you a Converge video a few weeks back, and I think it would be an appropriate time to show you this short video again. Let's take a look.
I believe there is one living and true God, existing in three persons.
I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I believe God hears our prayers.
I believe in the Bible, God's own word.
I believe that Jesus died to pay for our sins and he was raised from the dead.
I believe the church is not a building or an event.
It is the people of God.
I believe that Jesus established the church and it should bring God glory.
I believe healthy, strong churches grow and bear fruit.
Jesus said, "We must go, make disciples, baptize and teach."
But how do we share the gospel with 7 billion people?
We know we can't do it alone.
So what can we do?
We find others who share our passion to see the world transformed by Christ.
We are Converge.
We are Converge.
We are Converge.
With about 1,200 churches, Converge is an expanding movement, adding nearly 2 congregations every week.
Started in the 1850s by Swedish immigrants, today, we're reaching more than 20 ethnicities in the U.S. and more than 27 countries worldwide.
In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it."
Converge is all about starting and strengthening churches.
We know starting new churches is the most effective way to reach new people.
The church in Acts 13 sent out Paul and Barnabas to start churches.
That Spirit-powered strategy continues to this day.
We know Jesus wants every church to transform its community.
So we work together to strengthen churches.
Reproducing the life of Christ everywhere we serve.
That's what we're about.
That's what we're about.
That's what we're about.
We believe God does things in biblical proportions.
He multiplied the loaves and fish.
He multiplied the new believers.
He's multiplying churches worldwide.
And that's what we do in Converge.
You are part of this expanding movement.
Multiplying transformational churches together.
We are Converge.
We are Converge.
We are Converge.
We are Converge.
It's exciting, isn't it? We're part of that. We are one of the churches. We're part of this, and it's God's work. It's kingdom work. One thing you probably noticed in that video that I wanted to highlight is we're becoming a much more culturally diverse denomination. You need to know it was not that long ago that this entire denomination was made up of people with last names like my grandpa's, Lundquist, or Berquist, or Dahlberg, or Erickson, and it wasn't all that long ago that Swedish would have been the language spoken at the annual meeting. It was a small conference of Swedes who had come to America and had these particular set of beliefs about the Bible and about how churches should be run, and those people banded together in common purpose. They did good work, though, and they were getting the gospel out, and eventually they started allowing names like Spickelmeyer into the conference. I tell you, it was very cool to sit at this annual or biennial meeting and see African-American people representing their African-American Converge churches, to see Filipino pastors and delegates, to see Haitian pastors and delegates. Now, don't get me wrong, it's still largely white and Scandinavian, but we're making progress. It's our little wing of the kingdom of God is starting to look more like the actual kingdom of God. And that's exciting. Now, the denomination has a school, and it just happens to be in our backyard here in the Twin Cities, Bethel University, and a report was made at the biennial meeting about Bethel. I wanted to follow suit here. Here's a little background from Bethel's website in case you're not familiar with it. John Alexis Edgren founded Bethel as a seminary in 1871 with the name Baptist Union Theological Seminary. The seminary trained pastors to serve Swedish Baptist immigrants fleeing religious persecution in Europe. Edgren, who was a sea captain and a scholar and knew 30 languages, founded Bethel on the enduring conviction that Christians ought to love God with their minds and represent him in all fields. The Baptist General Conference, now Converge Worldwide, took on support of the seminary in 1914, moved it from Chicago to St. Paul, merged it with a Christian high school. Following World War II, Bethel answered demand for four-year degrees, becoming Bethel College and Seminary. In 2004, already classified among master's levels universities, Bethel changed its name to Bethel University to match its broad scope of programs across four schools. The College of Arts and Sciences, that's the traditional undergrad program, College of Adult and Professional Studies, grad school, and Bethel Seminary. Bethel remains a private Christian university, sponsored in part by the Churches of Converge, but open to all men and women willing to learn within an evangelical perspective and community. In less than three decades, Bethel's programs have more than doubled to over 100 degree options. Enrollment has tripled to 6,000 students over all of those schools. Bethel remains true to the vision of its founder, John Edgren, to develop broadly educated, critically thinking Christians changing the world through service and leadership in Christ's name. So our denomination has a school to send our kids to, a school that will be responsible to provide quality education to our young people, academically and spiritually, to mold the young people from our conference churches and elsewhere into committed Christ followers who will leave that school and bring their vibrant faith out into all career fields as they live out their adult lives. The question, as Bethel has grown bigger, I think, in my mind and probably in the mind of others, is the school going to stay true to the vision? How many colleges do we know that have Christian roots, backgrounds, and you just wouldn't know it when you visit or attend there? I believe Bethel has stayed true. You still have to give your testimony in your application. You still have to sign a lifestyle statement if you're going to go there and attend as an undergrad. Now, of course, anytime you get bigger, you're going to have more exceptions to the rule, right? There's always going to be students who sign that lifestyle statement and have no intention of following it. But I believe the school as a whole and the leadership of the school absolutely have kept true to the original vision and kept true to God. So on that note now, I want to get you into the room with us at the biennial meeting, and I want you to hear from the president of our school, of Bethel, the school of our conference. His name is Jay Barnes. I want you to hear his heart, and I think you will rest easy after hearing it, as I do, that the school and the students there are in good hands. Now, there was no video of this particular speech. I have a 3-minute audio clip for you to listen to. Understand we're moving in rather abruptly into the middle of his the last 3 minutes of his speech there. Just before President Barnes took the stage, he played a video about Welcome Week at Bethel, the week where freshmen come onto campus for the first time. And I was able to get a hold of that video for you. I'm going to play that, and then we'll listen to the audio clip of President Barnes, who, by the way, is at the beginning of this video, so you can see what he looks like in the Welcome Week video. Let's listen in here.
We're glad you're here. We're looking forward to a great, great move-in and a great year together. We're trusting that God will be at work in ways seen and unseen, and you become the visible presence of the Lord today. It's a high-stakes time. This is a really, really high-stakes moment as they come onto campus. So welcoming them matters. Making them feel like they belong here really matters.
I go crazy sometimes. Can you leave it? Yeah, I swear I'm fine, that I'm all right, but I'm barely breathing. Thought I could find
go out, love well, serve well, welcome the new students into this place that we are so blessed to call home.
One sunrise a day, start everything with bacon. Don't forget to brush your teeth.
Communal bathrooms can be really awkward. Don't be afraid to make conversation while you're brushing your teeth.
Looking for a great way to relax? Go check out the Heritage Pool.
Join as many organizations and clubs as you can and take chances to get to know people.
Excited for you. It looks like a fun place to be, so miss you.
Good luck at school, and remember your brother is going to miss you. Make sure you don't sleep in and go to all your classes.
We're super excited for you, and we're so proud of you. We love you and hope you have the best year of your life here at Bethel.
I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful year, and we love you very much.
While we're going throughout this day and just this week, I want you guys to think about how you were feeling when your parents left. You know, when you spent your first night in your new bed, God has been faithful to you. I know that. And He will be faithful to these new students.
How do we remain faithful in today's world? How do we remain unapologetically Christ-centered, combining the best of academic learning with the best of spirit directed, transformative, heart-changing education? We want to go down that path again and again and again and say, yes, this is what we stand for at Bethel. God is calling us to a vision of the future to be the Christ-centered university of choice for the 21st century. But underline those words, Christ-centered. If we are not Christ-centered, then we lose our value, we lose our heart, we lose our way, and we take the wrong fork on the road. Edgren told others to judge us by our graduates and what they're doing in the world as they leave Bethel. We do research on our graduates 1, 5, and 10 years out, and that research tells us that what happens here on campus really matters. It matters at the seminary, it matters in our graduate and adult programs, it matters in our traditional undergraduate residential college. God is at work. It tells us that our graduates are regularly involved with church in amazing percentages, in the mid-80 percentages, regularly involved, as in going to church almost every Sunday. It tells us that those 10 years out stay married. This urban mythology about Bethel grads divorcing is absolutely untrue. Our research shows that there's about a 3% divorce rate for our grads 10 years out. That is so countercultural, and it tells you that something good relationally is happening here at Bethel. Our graduates live by our core values that begin, we are Christ-centered. When we celebrate people like Dr. David Asprey, our college alumnus of the year, who heads the Physician Assistant Study Program at the University of Iowa, or Chaplain John Morris, whom I mentioned last night, our seminary alumnus of the year, to see these folks living their faith out in the marketplace brings us joy. I rejoice in the ministry of seminary grad Sammy Wanyonye, whose ministry in Rwanda recently resulted in more than 5,300 people coming to faith in Christ. He's doing a revival in Kenya, even as we're meeting here. I rejoice that seminary grad Nick Hall of Pulse Ministries recently led a service at Columbia University in which scores of students profess faith in Christ. Take a walk at the Great Wall of Testimony, just up a level from this main floor, kind of between here and my office, and look at the faces, look at the stories that tell of Bethel grads doing great things in the name of Christ. And they, again, get on your knees and pray that we will always take the fork in the road that is characterized by Christ-like excellence. You've stood by Bethel to help us advance our unapologetically Christ-centered mission in all seasons. And we give thanks to God for you, and we look to the future with confidence, knowing that we have heavy lifting to do in lots of areas, but knowing for sure that God is at work and lives are being transformed in each of our schools. So thank you for the privilege of being partners in ministry and mission, and we look forward to a great celebration and our time here together. Thank you, and God bless you.
Our school is in good hands. And this is a cause, I think, to feel good about and to support the vision of educating young people in a Christ-centered way. Anna told me yesterday, thinking about that Welcome Week video, wouldn't it be cool if that's how we welcome new people into our congregation here, people who make decisions for Christ? You know, I think we do that to some extent, although it's kind of hard to duplicate the energy from back when you were 19 and 20, right? But I like that idea. And, you know, let's do even better for our future baptism celebrations and new member celebrations. Let's pump our fists and welcome people in. And don't just leave it at that. Develop relationships with those new people. Pray for Bethel University, will you? I don't need to inform you about the sweeping cultural changes that are happening in our country right now that put schools like Bethel at risk who have hiring practices that seek to follow biblical principle. There are some serious issues, I think, coming down the road and already hitting some of these Christian colleges, so be in prayer for them. Okay, the two most notable things that Anna and I voted on at the biennial meeting in your stead were as follows. First, there was a vote to change the name of our district within Converge from the MIBC, which stands for Minnesota Iowa Baptist Conference, to Converge North Central, to kind of align it with that change, that past change. That resolution passed, so the name MIBC is no more. We are now Converge North Central. Second thing that we were voting on that day was a new president for Converge Worldwide, so no small issue there. Jerry Shevlin, the leader for the National Converge group for the last 14 and a half years, announced his retirement earlier this year, and we needed a new president. We voted on that at this meeting. Now, the process of voting for a president at the conference level is very similar to how you handled voting in me at your church. There's a search committee, and especially for a Converge national president, it was a very wide net that was cast, and they were talking to all kinds of people associated with Converge to get names and nominations. They sent us emails on that. They sorted through all those names and interviewed people thoroughly, as you can imagine. But by the time this comes for a vote of the delegates, you've got a yes or no vote on one person, right? The person that the committee has chosen for you to vote on. Similar to my candidating week here, you had one person. Thanks for saying yes, by the way. Scott Rideout is the name of our new president, the man who was presented to us that night after that long search process. We're going to hear from him in just a moment. Let me read to you his bio. Scott Rideout and his wife, Lisa, have served at Sun Valley Community Church, Gilbert, Arizona, since 1993. Scott was the first youth pastor. Today, he serves as lead pastor at Sun Valley, which by God's grace has grown to 5,500 weekly attendees on three campuses in Gilbert, Tempe, and Casa Grande. Scott also serves on the lead team of Vision Arizona, one of Converge's most successful church planting movements. Since 2008, Scott has served as director of generosity for Converge, empowering churches to make a greater impact in their communities and the world through generous living. Scott also served on the board of overseers for Converge for 6 years and as chairman for three. The Rideouts have been married 26 years and have three children. So my last order of business for us this morning here, aside from just a brief closing comments, is to now show you a video of Scott Rideout after he was presented to us that first night. The speech here is before his official vote, but as you know, at this point, everyone knows he's going to get voted in anyway, so that was just a formality. And he did get voted in. He has begun his term and resigned as pastor of Sun Valley. So I thought it was important for you to hear from our new leader. I'll tell you that this video came with very poor audio quality, so I've jacked it up as much as we can so that you can hear it, but it's gonna be buzzing and all that stuff. Hopefully you can put that out of your mind and focus in on what he's saying. So tune that out and let's listen now. Here he is, the new president of Converge Worldwide, Scott Rideout.
Thank you very much. I feel a little undressed by Jerry Dahl at this point. He knows more about me than I know about me, evidently. I want to begin by thanking everyone who has been praying for Lisa and I. Everyone who has encouraged us. Everyone who saw something in us. God is a very gracious God. And there's an old saying that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And that's the way Lisa and I feel about this moment. We're so thankful to stand on Jerry and Dee's shoulders in the work and standing on the shoulders of the executive ministers, of the pastors and leaders, of the prayer warriors, of the missionaries, of the national staff, of everyone who calls Converge their church family. And I just want to say we're grateful. It was 21 years ago that Lisa and I took the trek from South Carolina down to Arizona. We had gone out and candidated in April, which was really, really smart on their part. And it was the 1st of July that we actually ended up driving across the country and found ourselves in Albuquerque. And we were driving across, and it got hot in the cab of the truck we were driving. And so I decided to roll the window down and get a little fresh air, fresh southwestern air into the cab. And it was like driving through a blow dryer. It was 108 degrees in Albuquerque. Welcome to Arizona. And we thought, what have we gotten ourselves into? We were a great church. We met in a movie theater. In the beginning, it was great because you could reach down, grab popcorn between the seats if you were hungry. That's how we used communion as well. We met in the movie theater for 7.5 years. It was during that time we moved to Gilbert High School and then to Mesquite Junior High, and then we moved to another building. Our motto as a church was, "We're a great church if you can find us." And it was 1998. I've been the youth pastor for 5 years when John Snyder left, and he put his arm around me and said, "This is your leader for the future." And I didn't believe it at that point in time, and I can't believe what God has done today. But God doesn't call the qualified; He qualifies the called. And we have had an incredible ministry at Sun Valley. What they were so gracious not to tell you in the beginning was this: is when I took over as lead pastor, the church was about 400 people. And a year later, it was about 200 people. And I said that right before a vote, didn't I? But God was qualifying me. He was working on my heart. He was working on my life. He was helping me to learn what it meant to be His leader. Humility is the key to the Christian life. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And unfortunately, He had to humble me. I had to learn the hard way. But I hope I did. And I hope I'm still in that posture of surrendering to God and listening to His people and to His word and to His spirit and to His will in my life. I believe in Converge Worldwide. I believe in the work of God in us and through us. As Dr. Shevlin and I talked about Converge, we talked about the values that we have as a movement, that we are a spiritually dynamic movement, that we began but through a work of God and we continue to work through God's spirit and through His abilities. It says in Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the labor in vain who build it. It says in John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. But then it says this, apart from me, you can do nothing. 1 Corinthians 3 says that it's not the person who plants or the person who waters that's anything. It's God who causes all things to grow. So I just want to begin by saying I strive and desire to be a man who's surrendered to God moment by moment and day by day. And I hope that we would have churches and leaders and pastors and a movement that would be surrendered to God, that daily we'd go into His presence and we want to hear from God. We want to read His word. We want to listen to His spirit. We want to be guided by godly counsel. And we move forward in His name and for His glory and not for our own. We believe that Converge is missionally driven. That our whole existence is to start and strengthen transformational churches and movements worldwide. And so we start churches. We start churches in Arizona. We start churches here in the States. We start churches worldwide as a movement. I believe that's a great part of our future. I believe that we need to continue to do that, but we need to do it better. We need to be stronger and clearer and more in line with each other. We need to help one another. And I think we'll do that better and better. We need to start churches, but we also need to strengthen churches. Our front door is wide open. We're starting churches, but our back door is wide open too. And the greatest need of our pastors, the greatest need of our movement, is for our pastors to have a vibrant, personal, life-changing relationship with God that guides them in every decision of every single day. We need to have churches that are led by spiritual men and women who love God and follow His lead. And so we're going to strengthen churches by strengthening leaders, by strengthening pastors. And we're going to do it worldwide. I am so excited about working with Ivan and Susan Veldhuizen. I'm so excited about working with our missionaries. I met a couple of them today. And I'm so excited about the work that God is doing with our 150 so missionaries in 33 countries around the world. And I think there's more to be done. I'm so excited about our new focus on unreached people groups and least reached people groups. In fact, last November, Ivan and I and Susan were in Indonesia together, seeing the work of God there. And finally, I'm very excited. I believe in the value of being culturally diverse. Our God is a God of great variety. And I just listened to Carlton last night as he talked in the video about how God has moved our movement to be uniquely blessed by God, to have a variety of backgrounds, a picture of heaven here on earth. That one day we as a movement could help people from every tongue and tribe and nation hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and respond to that. We want to be a part of that. I look forward to what God is going to do in those things. Before I end, I just want to say there's some things I'm going to ask you to believe with me. First, I want you to believe that we've been blessed by God. There's no reason in a world that a small movement like ours should have so much favor in our country and around the world. We're in so many places. We're so positioned to move forward and to be a voice. A voice for the gospel around our world. It's crazy to think how much influence that God has given us. But too much has been given, much will be required. And so we need to step up. I want us to believe that. I also want us to believe that the reason we're here for something bigger than ourselves, bigger than our own walks with Christ, bigger than our own churches, bigger than our own districts, bigger than our own movement. God is doing something with us, and the partnerships that we have around the country and around the world just keep coming to us. People wanting to join us, asking for our help, because they see God's blessing on our lives as well. I want us to believe that we're better together. I'm not sure we believe that yet. I think we have nuances of it. I don't think we believe that yet. But we are. We've experienced it in Arizona. We've experienced it in the Southwest. We've experienced it in Converge. We just look. We're better together. I don't know if you were paying attention last night. They showed how many churches are part of Converge Worldwide. Did you see that? Bill Ankerberg put up a number. Does anyone remember what the number was? It said 1,205, but they forgot. They forgot about all the churches around the world. What about the Canadian Baptists who are a part of us and the Filipino Baptists? What about the work of God in Brazil? What about what the missionaries are doing around the world? You know how many churches there are in Converge Worldwide? There's only one. Ephesians, it says this, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. May his name be praised. I want us to believe that we're better together. And last is this. I want us to believe that our best days are ahead of us. You know the difference between a denomination and a movement? We started using this movement word, and I think we are a denomination because we have a statement of faith that binds us together. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in the people of God, the Spirit of God. We believe in the inspiration of Scripture. We believe all those things. The difference between a denomination and a movement is this. A denomination looks at the past. A movement looks to the future. And we are all about the future. And I can't wait to see what God does in us and through us. And again, we're humbled and privileged and grateful for your trust. May God bless you. Thank you.
It's good to hear from our leaders, isn't it? It's a movement, says President Rideout. It's a mission given to us by Jesus Christ. So what can you do to be part of the mission? Well, you can support the efforts of our conference in Bethel through prayer and financial giving. We do give as a church to not the MIBC anymore, the Converge North Central. We give monthly to that. You can support missionaries, either the missionaries that we support here at church or people that you know in the mission field who are doing God's work through missions. You can come with us on our mission trip to Washington, D.C. next summer and get some training in how to present the gospel and be more bold, have a chance to practice it there, hopefully to help move some people in that city closer to having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And perhaps God will call you to be a missionary and to go out and make disciples of all nations. Maybe that will be a call on your life. So we at Calvary Baptist want to support the expansion of God's kingdom out there, to be sure. That's part of our mission. But most importantly, church, we need to be accomplishing the mission that God has given us right here in Madison and the surrounding area. What can you do to be a part of the mission here? I want to say, develop loving relationships with people in our community who need to know God. Let's not put targets on people's heads. These relationships need to be independent of whether or not that person ever makes a decision for Jesus Christ. But when you build genuine, loving relationships with people, that does open the door for you to share what's important to you. And it opens the door for inviting people to things where we might be talking about Jesus. So that's a huge part of what you can do to accomplish the mission here. Continue to be involved in the ways that you already are. in our church programs, volunteer at VBS, work with the kids and the teens, help with nursery and super church on Sundays so the kids can learn about Jesus over there while the parents get a break in here and can concentrate on hearing the Word of God preached. Be involved in prayer ministries and Bible studies and service projects and keeping this building going, shoveling so that we can continue to meet together and worship and learn from the Lord. All of this is part of that great mission that Jesus has called us to. So I think it's exciting to see what's going on out there and to know that we stand with hundreds of thousands of people with like mind and conviction just in our little wing of the kingdom of God, the wing we call Converge Worldwide. And to know that we stand with that larger group of souls who are all seeking to give God the honor and accomplish his mission throughout the world. That's exciting to me. That's motivating. Let's be involved with those large-scale, global-focused projects, absolutely. But I hope that the primary motivation that you get after this reflection on our involvement in the greater body is the motivation to do the job that we have been given here in Madison and the surrounding area, to do our part here. It's a movement of God's love and truth. It's a mission. It's why we should be getting out of bed in the morning. So thank you for allowing me to give you a report on our attendance at the biennial meeting of Converge Worldwide. Get involved in the mission of Jesus Christ, and to God be all the glory. Amen.